Amen. Thank you. Did everybody get a copy of the notes? Anybody that did not get them that need them? Make sure you have that. Keep that in front of you. You've got the scripture verses right there on for you so we can keep things moving. Let me lead us in a word of prayer, and then we're going to go right to the text. And let me share a couple of quick thoughts with you from 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. Let us pray. Father, we do thank you for the blessings of the day. We thank you for the blessings every day that we enjoy. We are such a fortunate people. I pray especially this time of the year, and Lord, every day of the year, we should be so thankful and grateful for all that we have. We pray that you'll bless our time together tonight, bless our time in the Word, bless our time of fellowship downstairs. We ask it all in Jesus' name. Amen. Now look at the text, 1 Thessalonians, and if you have a pen with you, sort of get it ready. I'm going to share something with you at the very end, and I want you to jot down a couple things. If you have a pen and you have notes there that you can do it in. Look at the verses, 1 Thessalonians 5, verse 11. Therefore, encourage one another and build one another up, just as you are doing. So Paul writing to the church at Thessalonica, and evidently he's not only encouraging them and try to keep them focused on encouragement, but he's complimenting them for doing so. Rejoice always, pray without ceasing, give thanks in all circumstances, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. Now, I want to share a quote with you, and just listen very carefully. The great English writer, G.K. Chesterton, he once wrote this. He said, "You say grace before meals." Hopefully we do that. He said, "All right, but I say grace before the concert and the opera, and grace before the play and the pantomime, and grace before I open a book, and grace before sketching, and grace before painting, and swimming, and fencing, and boxing, and walking, and playing, and dancing, and grace before I dip the pen in the ink." So you get the flow of what he's saying. We ought to be in the habit of saying thanks to God. Amen? And of course, the last verse there in the text sort of emphasizes that. And what a great reminder for us when you think about what Chesterton has said. And there's no doubt that, you know, that we could all give thanks more often, right? And just to focus on that. We set aside mealtime and naturally, on Sunday mornings, we always pray together. Time like this, we pray together. And, of course, especially Thanksgiving. And let's make sure that we don't just be grateful and thankful for all that we have during the Thanksgiving time. But as Chesterton mentioned, and as the Scriptures share with us, you know, we should be giving thanks all the time for our work, our school, our kids, our grandkids, for our health. And maybe you're struggling in health, but you know at least we're here, right? Do you give thanks for your spouse, for your blessings and your challenges in all of life? Steve Arterburn said, "When you have a God awareness about life, and when you see and sense him in your day, in the big things and the little things, it's hard not to be thankful." Now look at the scripture verses with me just a minute, and let me just make a couple of quick comments. You look at verse 11, "Therefore encourage one another and build one another up, just as you are doing." Paul is trying to encourage the Thessalonians, and his purpose is encouragement. In chapter 4, the very last verse, previous to this, in verse 18, Paul said to the church at Thessalonica, he said, therefore, encourage one another with these words. In other words, encourage one another with all of these words. And the text toward the end of the chapter that we focused on, verses 16 through 18, he's reminding us of the very same thing there, encourage one another with these words. Now, in verse 16 in the text, he said, rejoice always. As a Christian, we should be full of joy, should we not? And that ought to come from the gratitude of gratefulness of what we have in the Lord. Paul, in his letters, always emphasized that. You remember in Philippians 4:4, Paul said what? Rejoice in the Lord always. And just in case you missed it again, I say what? Rejoice. Rejoice. And Philippians was one of his prison epistles. Remember, Paul wrote Philippians when he was in prison. And the theme of the whole book is rejoice in the Lord, especially in times of suffering. And of course, Paul knew what it meant to suffer. Now, Paul's letters, joy is a basic mark in all his letters. And he reminds us it ought to be a basic mark in the Christian life. The fruit of the Spirit, we're reminded to be joyful. And it's often associated with the hope of the Christian life. You remember a verse in Romans 12:12, rejoice in hope, be patient in tribulation, be constant, be persistent in prayer. Now in verse 17, he said, pray always. King James says, pray without ceasing. Most of us are familiar with that. Pray always. What does he mean by that? He's suggesting a mental attitude of prayerfulness, a continual fellowship, a continual personal fellowship with God. In other words, being conscious of being in His presence throughout the whole day. He's not saying we ought to walk around, like we're in a monastery, just chanting and quoting all day long, but he's simply saying that in our hearts, our desire ought to be conscious of God's presence throughout the day and to be open to pray when the Lord lays it on our heart. Now in verse 18, he says, give thanks. Give thanks always. And for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. Christians are to be marked by thanksgiving, Paul says. He says, this is the will of God. Probably refers to all of what he's saying in Thessalonians there. This, in other words, all of these. And you remember that section there is just a group of short, pithy, to-the-point statements. Rejoice always. Pray without ceasing. Giving thanks in all circumstances, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus. So often people say, well, if I just knew God's will, well, there's one of them. Often people say to me, I'll see you Sunday, Lord willing. And I've got so I repeat anymore, well, the Lord is willing, right? He's willing that we see one another Sunday morning in church, right? But here he says, be thankful, give thanks. I read an interesting illustration that I want to share with you. It was out of a book by a Christian psychologist, a man by the name of Sean Achor, who was the psychologist. It was about him. The author of the book, was called Survival Guide for the Soul by Ken Shimatsu. You can't see it, so that's close enough. But just listen to this carefully, and we'll close with this. He quotes in that book, he says, Sean Achor, a psychologist who teaches at Harvard, he suggests that we can train our brains to become more grateful by setting aside just 5 minutes a day for practicing gratitude. 5 minutes a day to practice gratitude. He cites a one-week study in which people were asked to take 5 minutes a day at the same time every day to write down three things they were thankful for. They didn't have to be big things, but they had to be concrete and specific. He suggested such as, I'm thankful for the delicious takeout lunch that I had, or dinner. Or I'm thankful that my daughter gave me a hug today. Maybe you're thankful your daughter even spoke to you today. Or I'm thankful that my boss complimented my work. He went on to say the participants simply expressed thanks for three specific things at the same time every day. At the end of 1 month, the researchers followed up and they found that those who practiced gratitude, including those who stopped the exercise after 1 week, were happier and less depressed. Remarkably, after 3 months, the participants who had been part of the one-week experiment were still more joyful and content. Incredibly, after the six-month mark, they were still happier, less anxious, and less depressed. The researchers hypothesized that the simple practice of writing down three Thanksgivings a day over the course of a week primed the participants' minds to search for the good in their lives. Isn't that an interesting application? This was from a psychologist, and surely those of us who understand the Word of God, rejoice always. Pray without ceasing. Be thankful. Give thanks in everything, in all circumstances, for this is the will of God. Now, what I'd like you to do with your pen and paper, just real quickly, I'm only going to give you about 30 seconds. I want you to write down three things you're grateful for today. Write down three things you're grateful for today. And then we're going to close in prayer. Who's finished? Somebody share one real quick. Can you share one? Just Debbie, what?
My Savior.
Amen. Anybody else? What, Beth?
Family.
Great.
Church.
What?
My church.
Okay, great.
Husband, spouse,
okay. Anyone else?
My grandchildren.
Amen. Anybody else?
Friends.
Especially church friends. Amen. Fellowship. Yes, Jerry. Your wife and your granddaughter. Amen. We have so much to be grateful for, don't we? You know, God is good. And I think the practice there, how many times do we go through a day and how many times are we inclined? We're inclined to maybe be negative or to allow discouragement, maybe even depression to set in. And I think it's just great, not only this time of the year, but let's practice that. Let me encourage you. Let's practice over the next week or two. Let's write down three things every day we're grateful for. Let's spend 5 minutes, amen? You got 5 minutes to spare in a day? Let's spend 5 minutes, especially between now and next week. Surely we can do that. We can take 5 minutes and write down three things that we're grateful for and just spend that time. In everything, give thanks, for this is God's will.